Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts, Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast. I'm your host, Rico Muhammad. I'll be joined by my co-host very shortly, Mr. Chuck Snow. Very excited for this evening's show. As you all know, last week, if you were following us on any of our social media platforms, this past weekend we were up at NASDIC convention. And if you don't know what NASDIC stands for, that's the National Association of Small Trucking Companies. We got a chance to rub elbows with some very influential people within the industry. We got a chance to pick up some information, learn some new things, make some different relationships. And tonight, one of our guests will be joining us is actually from the NASDIC convention. And actually, I'm kind of in a privileged position because I have two winners, both of the people that are joining us tonight, Chuck Snow in particular, and our special guest, Mr. Jason Cowan. Both of those guys won awards. I'm the only oddball out here. I got to step my game up. I didn't get no award or nothing like that. But both of these gentlemen both won awards for their companies. As we talked about last week, Chuck Snow had the privilege and the honor of being awarded NASDIC's Best Broker of 2021. And Jason, he was awarded the Overdrive Magazine's title of the Small Carrier of the Year. So looking forward to tonight's show. It should be action-packed. If you got a question, if you're listening in, if you have a question, all you have to do is press the number one. That puts you in our call screeners queue. That lets us know that you want to try to get up and on board, and we'll try to get you involved as quickly as we possibly can. But before we do all of that, let's take care of our normal order of business, and that is this week's DAT Trendlines report. And this week, fortunately, we do not have, the first time in a very long time, the price of diesel fuel remains unchanged. So we're showing that the national average price of diesel fuel stays at an average of $3.73 per gallon nationwide. Thanksgiving comes early for reefer carriers. Reefer spot rates increase earlier than usual as fresh turkeys take off ahead of the harvest celebrations. Normally, we see demand on the spot market for temperature-controlled equipment increasing right up to Thanksgiving, but like everything else in 2021, the current freight market is anything but normal. With 3 weeks to go, the national average for reefer spot market rates have increased by 12 cents per mile in the first week of November. So we'll dig into this a little bit deeper. Let's see how the dry van rates were performing on average nationwide for starting out up in that northeastern corridor. We're showing that the average spot market rate for dry vans coming out of that area shows at $2.63. Dropping down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing that the national average spot market rate is $2.71 for dry vans. Moving up into that Midwest, we're showing that the national average spot rate for dry vans sitting at $3.08. Dropping down to the south central region of the United States, we're showing that the national average for dry vans checks in at $2.58. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an average spot market rate for dry vans at $3.15. Changing gears, moving over to the flatbed portion of the report, we're showing out of the northeastern corridor the national spot market rate of $2.91. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an average for flatbeds at $3.22. Up in the Midwest, we're showing a national average outbound spot market rate of $3.30. Coming down to the south central region, we're showing an average of $2.99 for flatbeds. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at $2.76. And jumping over to that temperature-controlled or reefer portion of the report, coming out of the northeastern corridor, we're showing that that national average spot rate checks in at $2.96. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing an average outbound rate of $2.83. Moving up into the Midwest, we're showing that the average outbound spot market rate for reefers at $3.70. Coming down to the south central region, we're showing
at the national average outbound spot market rate at 303. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing that that national average spot market rate checks in at 352. And without any further ado, let me go ahead and welcome my co-host, Nasdaq's best broker of the year, Mr. Chuck Snow. Good evening, Chuck. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Rico, I'm still on cloud nine, and it was just fantastic being at Nasdaq, getting that award, being with you. You and I had a lot of fun together. It was just, you know, it shows that looks like life's getting back to normal. I'm still on cloud nine, Rico.
Good deal, good deal. Well, I don't want to keep our special guest waiting. I want to pick his brain. I want to get all into it, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited. So without any further ado, let's welcome Overdrive Magazine, the awardee of Overdrive Magazine, Small Carrier of the Year, Mr. Jason Cowan. Jason, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, fellas. It's good to be with you tonight.
It's great to be, you know, have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Definitely appreciate
it,
Jason. So I want to – I'm sorry. If you want to, Jason.
I could iterate what Chuck said. It was a great week last week, and our team had a wonderful time there. And I was humbled and honored to be among so many professionals in our industry, and it was a great week.
Well, absolutely. So Jason, I was just going to go ahead and I was going to kind of open it up a little bit, you know, give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit before we get into the brass tacks of everything, maybe give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you guys do over there. And then we'll put you in the hot seat, so to speak, after the formalities.
Sorry, that's a great place to be. That is a great place to be. We're just a small Midwestern carrier based out of Kentucky, and my story's not unlike a lot of guys. You know, trucking's been in my blood since I was a young man, and it's something that I always wanted to do and had several different paths through life, but they've always circled back around to the transportation industry. And so we're honored that we are, you know, a part of that Nasdaq team and part of Overdrive's small fleet championship this year. Was a great opportunity for us. And our motto's pretty simple. We just want to build big people, and we want our company just to have excellence in everything that we do. We're a diversified carrier. That's one of the things that we built our platform on, that we're going to do a lot of different things, and that way, no matter what the market throws at us, we've seen some crazy things happen in the last couple of years, but no matter what the market throws at us, we're going to be in a position where we can meet the demands of the market and our customers and try to do that to the best of our ability.
Good deal. Well,
go ahead,
Chuck.
No, I want to hear more about this, because you obviously have different types of equipment, and how you balance all this, especially in this market where people are having problems getting drivers. You have a driver that can, operate a pneumatic tanker, or he can operate a dry van. He's great with a dry van, but he hasn't had any training on a pneumatic tanker or a flatbed. How you're balancing all this?
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of times, you know, I envy my peers that may have all one type of equipment, dry van, flatbed, tank, and when you specialize in that route, you know, you can train everybody at the same time. Everybody on your team's focused a certain way, and there's many times where our team has had to pull up and say, okay, the dry van market's hitting really hard, so we're going after that. And then we may switch gears, as we did through COVID, and go from a different market to maybe our tankers are pulling a little stronger because of our agriculture background. And so what we try to do is, in all things, we primarily are in three different sections. We're dry vans, flatbeds, which encompasses our specialized equipment, moving trailers, things of that nature, and then also our tankers. So even though we're diversified in those three specs, we typically have a driver that wants to do one of those avenues for their part of our company. So We get them trained. They may primarily stay on a tank, but then they would have the ability to move over to a flatbed or move over to a van or vice versa. And so we would never put a driver that hasn't trained on a tank into that situation. And so out of that, typically everybody has their lane that they like to run. And then when the demand comes, we'll either train them, move them to the other sector. It does make our team have to stay on their toes. You know, what do I need? What's coming up? But for the most part, it works. It flows pretty smooth because we have set customers that align with each one of the lanes that we're running.
So do you see a lot of?
I gotta
go ahead, Rico.
Well, I wanna kind of, before we get too far down the road, Jason, when you started out, how many trucks did you start with? Because you won the small carrier of the year. So when you started out, when you in the very beginning, how many trucks did you start with? And at this point in your growth and development, how many trucks do you have currently?
Okay. Well, I started with one and just drove it myself, started as an owner-operator. My background in trucking is hazardous chemicals, so hazmat carrier. And I made my living for many years doing that, and we would add one or truck at a time, which is what brought about the diversification, because I would just look for areas. You know, a lot of our growth came in the 2008 to 2010 years when we started. Well, that's when freight volumes were at their lowest. And so it wasn't the scenario that we have today where everybody needs a truck or you need a driver. It was more, we've got all we need. And so to break into the market, I would just go to a shipper and say, hey, what can we help you with? And they may say, oh, well, there's times we need some flatbeds. There's times we need a van. And we would just begin to work in that market. And as we built from one truck to two trucks to three trucks, honestly, I would go just to these shippers and when they would say, oh, come back when you have 10 or 15 trucks. And I'd say, just let me haul the freight when somebody drops the ball. When you have somebody and you need a load and can't get it covered, call us. And so the first several years, that's what our business was built on, just picking up loads that other carriers would drop. And then out of that, we begin just to develop relationships with our shippers and our receivers and relationships out in the company, and became known as the company that can get it done. You know, if you need something, call Silver Creek, and they will help us out. And then out of that, as we've added trucks, then we've been able, you know, to handle, you know, entire accounts and everything. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. We had to pick up what was being dropped.
So I got
you have lanes you specialize?
Okay.
Go ahead, Rick.
So you say you start out with one truck, and if I remember correctly, you started out with hazmat tankers. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, one truck pulling a hazmat tanker. Then we found some opportunities and bought the second truck, and then from that, the third and the fourth. And we've seen a lot of our growth. We changed our business model toward the last part of, 2018, and decided to try some different things. We've seen our majority of our growth come from year 18 up and through today because of the way that we changed our business model. And we made our goals, made our benchmarks, things that we could hit. We knew how to obtain them. We knew what we were going to do. When we got to that benchmark, this is what the next step is. And that vision has what has helped our team and what's helped our company grow, because one of the things that we can do, we try to simplify everything we do every day. Even though we're diversified across the board in different things, we try to do the same things the same way in the same vein that works for us every day. And we can multiply that. And so my safety director knows each day what she has to do and how she makes her part work. Our logistics team, the same way, they know what their benchmarks are and what they have to do. And so we just try to replicate that as we get bigger, and therefore we don't have the chaos that, you know, you would think you would have by trying to do so many different things, because we try to standardize our business practices and do them the same every day and get better at it.
Did you
know how many trucks
you
are operating
out
right now?
Yeah, we're at 26 trucks right now. Ooh, and nice. We were at 9 trucks in 2018. So we went about the first 10 years of Silver Creek's existence and got up to about somewhere around 9, 10 trucks. and then we've grown from that point since then. And we had a business plan to go to 30 trucks. Of course, we had COVID year hit, and that kind of changed the game a little bit. But, you know, like everything else, the market is so tight now, we can't get equipment. And, you know, those are the hindrances that we have now. We have the equipment hindrance and all those things that are holding up being able to grow until some of those markets can get turned loose.
Was that the vision from the very beginning to grow a company, or was it, or did you just start out with just one truck and just by the happenstance so much stuff was coming at you, you say, well, let me go ahead and begin to build this thing out?
My vision's always been to grow a company. And when people would ask, well, how big do you want to be? The answer has always been, it still is, and I hope will continue to be, we want to be a company that where we can, as long as we can keep the quality, as long as we can keep our integrity, as long as we can keep having fun with it and we're growing, then we don't know ultimately where the size will be that we want to stop. But we don't want to grow just for the sake of having growth. We want to be able to keep quality people. We want to be able to have a quality company to work for. I really wanted something different than a lot of the trucking companies that I see. You know, I want just to invest in our people. I want to see our people growing as people every year. You know, I never want to hear someone in our organization say, I'm not just a truck driver. I'm not just working in the office. I'm not just a mechanic. You know, each of us have a destiny that we're called to fulfill, and I see that it's my job to help my team members each and every day fulfill what their destiny is throughout their life. We want to see their families healthy. We want to see them being able to function with their kids and have a great life outside of Silver Creek, and all that is, you know, a component of what we want to do. And when I say we want to build big people, so more than just saying, okay, I want 200 trucks, it's our vision that if we have 50 trucks and it's a quality organization that's got a soul, that's what we're after.
Good
wow.
stuff.
Impressive.
Good stuff. So are all those 26, are all those company trucks, or are those, you got a mixture of company and owner operators?
We did. Yeah, we have, there's about 20, 21 company trucks, about 5 owner operators. You know, being an owner operator myself for so many years, I have a soft spot for the men and women that are out there wanting to do their own. And that's another component of, you know, I had people in my life that helped me, walked along beside me, that mentored me, that said, hey, this is the business side you need to be thinking about, and this is the way you get to your goals. And so now in this stage of my career, I want to be able to give that back to people who want their own dream. You know, the owner-operators that we have are all in different places. Some of them are older and just want to have their own truck and retire, and then have a younger guy that wants to build a company. And so we walk along beside them, try to teach what I know, mentor what I know into their life so that they can be successful. Because that's what I think in my life helped me be successful, the people that walked along beside me every day.
That
so once you knew that you were going to go ahead, absolutely. So, but once you knew you were ready to go ahead and start making the move, span from one truck, first question would be, what were some of the things that you had in place to help make that transition a little bit easier? When I mean by what were some of the things, I'm saying, did you have a banking partner? Like some of the, I want to try to get to the nuts and the bolts of to help some of the people that are listening in that have a vision that want to make this happen, but to try to help cut down on that learning curve a little bit.
Right. Yeah, cut through the fluff. The thing about I'm a reader by nature, so I read everything I could get my hands on in business. I have a degree in organizational growth, so I took some of those principles that I've learned throughout the years and said, okay, if you're going to be successful in the transportation business, number one, you have to learn to be a businessman first and a trucker second. So many of us get into the industry because we love the lifestyle, we love the trucks, you know, we like to have a certain type of truck. We want to see a certain kind of operation. I'm all about that. But at the end of the day, we have to be a businessman. It has to make sense business-wise to do what we're doing. So the very first thing that I would, if someone wanted to be an owner-operator, if they're going to step from a company driver, let's say, to an owner-operator, would be you have to know what it's going to cost you to do what you're going to do and how to budget that, how to get that started, how to be able to be good with the capital that you do have. And that is true. So many times you have to find that capital to be able to help you do what you want to do, whether that be a relationship with your banker or whether, you know, you pulled money from a savings account, something that you have. You have to know your numbers and know what it costs you to run that truck. And I see so many of us in our industry, those are hard lessons to learn. But when I first started as an owner-operator, I was able to budget those things and realize, okay, this is what it's taking to run this truck. We would, there again, I would set a goal before I add the second truck. I want to make sure at that time we had a number in our mind, you know, $10,000 we could add the second truck, and then we could add the third truck. And so we would work through those benchmarks and say, okay, we're ready to add. And then one, the more trucks that we got, the better we got at budgeting, the better we got at putting things together, putting a plan together, knowing what our cost per mile was going to be. And then one of the things that I do is I began to assemble people around me that were better at the job they were going to do than I was going to be. You know, I found somebody that was really good with numbers, and they helped us, you know, do our books and take care of our accounting work. I had someone who was very organized and good at safety. We put her in that place. So I try to surround myself with people that are smarter than me, so that way they can help us get the vision. And then I see that it's my job to cast the vision every day. This is where we want to go. This is how we're going to be there. We have them trained, let them do their job.
Great.
Good deal. Chuck,
great.
I don't want to.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't want to take over.
You're asking great questions, but one of the things I want to know, you've grown to the this fleet to 21 of your own power units. Do you buy everything the same?
We
tractors and power and everything the same. So
that's the plan. And then, you know, the plan is that we wanted to spec all of our equipment alike. We have a dealer that we just enjoy working with, and they have been very good, and they've been instrumental in our growth. We have the same trailer vendor. We have the same tractor vendor. And when we begin,
you
we
can
order
say their
things.
Name on this show, you know, there's no law against it. And if they're great vendors, we're glad to have you say their name.
Yeah. Yeah. Vomac Truck and Trailer Sales out of Evansville, Indiana. Matthew Brown is our tractor vendor, and there are no finer folks to deal with than Ryan Schneider and Matt at Vomac. And they've been a great partner in our success the last few years. And we sit down and looked at the operation that we were going to run. And now having the tanker, flatbed, and the van, sometimes those require a little different spec unit. So right. We spec the van unit, we spec the trailer flatbed unit. And so when the market was good and we were able to be able just to get equipment as we needed, you know, I could just call Matt and say, hey, we need three more trucks here. We're going to add, you know, three more trucks to our van side, three trucks to our flatbed side, and grow in that nature. And then as far as our – Matt also helps us with our van trailers, and then we use a man named Chuck Shelby, Fleet Sales out of Nashville, is our flatbed vendor. And he's just a great guy to work with, too. And in the same vein, we would spec those out and work with them. One of the things that we like to do with our customers, vendors, our friends, whatever it is, we love to do business with people we love to do business with. And I know that's kind of cliche, but, you know, if we have
– I don't know.
We can fire a customer, you know.
We've done it.
If they are too frustrating for us to deal with, then, you know, we'll seek another opportunity. And thankfully that we don't have that happen to us very much in our career. But, you know, if we get a vendor, we're very loyal to them, and we enjoy working with them. And it's a relationship that works both ways for us, because, you know, I think a lot of times in the business world, especially in the corporate world, the bigger you get, you see, you know, a lot of that trust is lost and it becomes just about numbers. And, you know, we want to keep the relationships at the center of everything we do. If we're going to keep a driver, if we're going to keep a vendor, if we're going to keep a customer, somebody has to have a relationship with that person. If not, they're going to go to where the relationship is. So, you know, with our drivers, we work really hard throughout our back office team to make sure that someone has a relationship with that driver and that they have somebody that they feel like they can talk to, they can call, that they have a need. And, you know, all of us have different personalities. So some of the different personalities in the back office team, they may mesh with the driver better than, say, I would or the dispatcher would, something like that. But we really try to have that relationship with the driver, turn around then and have that relationship with their family. And, you know, because the family at home is important to us too, because they're supporting the folks that are in our trucks. And so we want them to be healthy. You know, I don't want a driver in my truck if they fought with their spouse all day. That's not good for any of us. So no, what can we do to help them and, you know, to do that as well. So it's all a big, it's all one, many, many pieces of one puzzle.
Wow. Sounds like you're doing everything right. How many pieces of trailing equipment do you run altogether?
We've got about 45 trailers.
Okay. Now, with the majority of them.
You know, there again, when you're, you know, if you're a dry van fleet or a flatbed fleet, you can say, okay, I need about a, you know, one or one and a half trailers for every truck that I have. But when you're diversified, that's a little different. You may say, okay, all of my vans are taken up today, so we're going to have to, you know, switch some guys over and run the flatbeds. And you know, it. Now at this stage in the game, we've got it figured out where it works pretty good for us. But there were times in the beginning where we would say, okay, we're heavy or light, you know, on one end or the other.
Right. Now, with your tankers, are those pneumatic tankers, or what sort of tankers do you run?
We run two different types of tankers. We have pneumatic tankers that haul food-grade plastic, and then we have liquid tankers that go back and forth between agriculture chemicals and then industrial hazmat chemicals.
Okay.
We do a lot of water treatment for water treatment plants, and then also, you know, since our roots were in agriculture chemicals, we still have several customers where spring and fall we move liquid fertilizer, things like that. And then, like I said, our pneumatics are all basically food grade plastic pellets.
Now, on the pneumatics, do they always come back unless you're loading back for the same customer? Is it usually coming back empty?
Our pneumatics are dedicated to one customer. And so they have the exclusive use of all three of our pneumatics that I have. And so that way, you know, in the food industry, we understand that, you know, cross-contamination is a big deal. So that was one thing that our customer asked us if we could provide, and we did, and it's been a great relationship with them. We also do a lot of their bulk. We not only do their bulk in the tankers, but we also move, you know, their box, their van trailer loads as well. So we have a great relationship with those guys that help us. But yes, most of our tankers are dedicated out and back type things, so they're not having to worry about trying to reload them out somewhere.
Yeah, I know it can be very difficult. And how big an area do you cover with your fleet?
We will go the entire 48, lower 48. Typically run probably 60-70% within 500 miles of Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, in that little tri-state area there.
So your drivers have a fairly predictable lifestyle, I would presume.
They do, and that's one of the things that's helpful, because, you know, it's like everything else. The more efficient that you can get your company running, whether you're owner-operator or whether, you know, you have 20 trucks or, I assume, you know, hundreds of trucks, you want the efficiency in that model. And the efficiency for us comes in the dedicated lanes that we have. Drivers know what they're going to do every week. It's, It gives them the freedom to know, okay, this is when I'm going to be home, this is when I'm going to be on the road, this is what I'm going to do. And there are times that they say, hey, I would like to move over and do something else for a little bit if it, you know, gets to be mundane. But for the most part, they know where they're going, what they're going to be doing. And then that also helps us, Chuck, when we deal with folks like you, you know, they, you know, we're going to be there every Thursday, so you can reload me back out of there. So,
right.
And, you know, our relationships with our brokers, because they know, hey, we're going to have trucks in the area. And then that helps our logistic team be able to plan, because, man,
sure.
You know, it's tough on your dispatchers, logistic team, operations, whatever you want to call those guys. In this climate, it's been tough on them, you know, to.
Yeah. It's very, you know,
it's tough on them to keep everything going and try to, you know, try to meet customers' expectations and demands. And I know, like many of us that are out there today, we've gone from a place where our customers, you know, expected and demanded service that sometimes it's, you just can't provide it in this climate because there's just not enough capacity to cover.
Yeah. But you have to be, you know what I find, and I'm sure you find the same thing, it's having that open dialogue with your customer and saying, listen, you know, you're not giving me enough time to get it there. This is the risk you
right.
take. And
yeah.
it's that
yeah,
dialogue,
gotta,
and again, that relationship.
Different. Yeah, things are different, and that is the, and that's the key. There you go back to that. I know we keep saying that relationship word, but somebody's got to have that relationship in every area, you know. And we've noticed that the better relationships that we have, the better we can do business.
Well, you know, and we've said it on this show dozens of times, big business has worked very, very hard to take the actual human relationship out of the logistics equation, and they wanted all numbers. But when my computer and your computer aren't talking and stuff sitting in a warehouse and not sitting on the shelves, then it's the relationship that saves the day every time.
Oh, every time. It's and that's it. You know, you can't have too much communication with, you know, with our drivers. We realized a long time ago that our drivers have something that none of us in the office have, and that's time. Time to think, time to process. And, you know, if you see most trucking offices, they're busy. And so, you know, we realize that the things that you say to a driver before they leave the terminal or while they're out on the road, good or bad, they can bring you a harvest of good or bad before they get home. You know, if someone dwells on something for several hours, a lot of times it can be blown out of proportion. And then, you know, you may have somebody that's mad. So if you just have that communication and realize, hey, you know, if we run into a situation where a shipper says we have to have this product somewhere because they're going to run out of material if your truck doesn't get there, and then when the truck gets there and the person on the forklift says, well, I don't know why they made you hurry. I've got four more loads over here in the warehouse. You know, and they call, and, you know, you need to be able to say, okay, you know, this is what we, you have that trust to know that, hey, we're not going to tell you something that's not true. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to lie to the customers or the brokers or the whoever that may be. That
or the driver, obviously.
Or the driver.
Jason, what do you figure your driver turn percentage wise? What do you think you figure your driver turnover is these days?
About 20%.
Okay.
Not very much. We are very fortunate that if we can get a driver and get them trained and they get into our system, they stay. Many times some of our friends laugh at us because we say Silver Creek's kind of like the mafia. Once you're in for life, you know. And we do have, you know, it's in all those things you there again, you know, there are people that have different needs. Maybe they need to come off the road or have a family emergency or something like that.
Sure.
But for the most part, we don't have a high turnover, and that's a testament to my team and how they handle things. And you know, this we're in a climate, you know, today where everyone needs a driver, and we all see it. The ads that the cents per mile just keep going up and up, in the way that, you know, the money that's being offered to them from all different directions. It's, I think that relationship is more important now than ever, because, you know, I have several drivers tell me that they just get calls from recruiters all day long. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You want a driver happy in that environment. If he's not happy, then, you know, someone else is going to promise him something, whether it's better or not, you know, it's going to promise him something to try to remove him from you.
Well, the grass is never greener on the other side. It just looks that way because of the way the sun shines at 12 noon.
That's right. That is correct. Yeah, the you know, it's got to be about more than money, because we'll see the carriers on the low end of the scale, the carriers on the high end of the scale, everybody needs a driver. So if it was all about money, I guess we would be at the carrier that paid the most. But I think there's just so much more to that. We want our guys to be compensated good, above average. We want them to be taken care of. We want them to, you know that when they call in and say, hey, you know, my son's in the state tournament this week, or, you know, my daughter's playing volleyball at, and has four games, can you work with me, that they know that that's what we're going
to
do. And
you have to.
You know, truck, it's a tough life, and they don't get the respect they deserve. They don't get the respect from the shippers and receivers they deserve. They need, you know, one of the things that we're really going to push, I-69 is coming through our area. I think they're finally going to get the bridges built across Kentucky and Indiana. And,
oh, congratulations.
You know, we're going to work with our state senator. It's one of the things that I have on my agenda for our guys in the next year, is to really try to work with groups that are getting these folks some places to park. You know, they need safe places to park. They need the respect that they deserve for, you know, keeping us moving. It's not just, you know, I just don't say that lightly, because, you know, I've been there myself. I've left my family at home and missed birthday parties and missed things. And, you know, they deserve some respect. They deserve safe places to be. They deserve things for the sacrifices that they're making.
100%. I think that the governments, and you know, it's happening here too. We're going to mandate the ELDs at the, I think June and, of this year or next year. No, it's January or June. I don't even remember, because we have them anyways. But before we did that on both sides of the border, I really think we should have solved the parking issue. Because as big as Canada is, we have a parking issue along our major corridors. There's more trucks than there is places to park. And that doesn't make any sense. They want to mandate us. I'm fine with that. And I'm all for safety. But for gosh sakes, give us a place to park. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Stop closing rest stops and, you know, stop doing those things that we need to, you know, to do our job. It's, you know, so you're mandated to drive so many hours, but there's nowhere for you to stop. And, you know, you can plan your routes and things like that. And that's another thing, advantage that we have, you know, especially when you're on a dedicated route. You know, this is where I'm going to get. This is how far I'm going to get today. This is where I need to stop, and those things. But yet, so many times, I still see, and I will call it to the attention, if someone's in the car with me, and maybe they're not, you know, in the trucking industry or something, I will point out, hey, that truck's on an off ramp. You know, that's somebody's loved one on the off ramp trying to get some sleep. Yeah. You know, that's, you know, would you want to sleep tonight on an off ramp, or, you know, abandoned gas?
Think about it.
Well, you know,
there's no place. It's not right. And you know, one of the reasons we talk about it all the time, the shortage of drivers. When you and I, and I'm probably a lot older than you are, you know, I got behind the wheel of a truck first time in 1974. And, you know, there was lots of places to park back then, and we were restricted. And now, somehow, you know, and I know the reason, we've lost a lot of respect with the public, number one. And number two, it's to the point where people don't want to do that job because of the fact that you're expected to drive all day and not find a place to park. That's one of the real reasons. It's the way we're treated.
That's a big thing. And that's one of the things that I see my role in trucking going forward is to help the generations coming behind me, to help my team. And it's, you know, like I said at NASDAQ, it's not just about our team. The every person that's on the road, we're in this together. So I can do something to help another company, you know, if we can work together and get our drivers a safe place to park, if we can just, you know, if we can lobby Congress, whatever it is that we need to do, I see that as, you know, as a company owner, that's my responsibility to help not only my company, but help all those that are coming behind us. And because there, again, that's someone's husband, that's someone's wife, that's someone's, you know, dad, mom, sister, whatever it may be on the road. And, you know, we need to look out for them.
And we're all in this together at the end of the day. You know, if the guy up the road, if he's got a horrendous safety record for his company because he's got crashes all the time, that costs you and I money. Don't kid yourself.
Yes.
The reinsurance companies, you know, they've got to charge you and I for what somebody else does. So we're all in this. And when somebody does something stupid and it hits national TV, that doesn't look good for your business or my business.
It doesn't. And they never report how many loads safely made it to their destination in a day, do they?
Nobody. That doesn't sell newspapers.
That does not sell newspapers.
Absolutely not.
How many people did they get it right?
I want to take you back for just a second, Jason, about identifying when you got started, identifying your customers. What was your criteria, or how did you identify who could be your customer, or who you could to go after, so that you could begin the process of trying to grow your company?
Well, I guess as you guys come to learn, I'm not scared to talk to anybody, and that's one of the things that's helped me. I didn't mind to put ourselves out there and say, hey, here we are, and this is what we want to do. And, you know, it's like a lot of things. When you begin with one truck and you have, you know, a truck or a trailer, the thing that I did was I found a gig as an owner-operator that I could do. I worked with a bigger company, and they had some runs. And so I took my one truck, and that's how I made my living. Then my off days, I would visit some customers around or make relationships here in our town with people that I knew would be able to, you know, give us some loads and things like that. And so what we just really began to just be, I wanted to be a trucking company. I personally enjoyed the hazmat side of it and wanted to do that. But I just began to look and see where is the opportunity? Where is a hole that needs to be filled? And so then just in my everyday travels and people that I talk to, they would say, hey, we need someone to do these loads. And then they just began from there. And typically, you know, if it's a company or something, once they have one or two and they know that you can do it, they'll just begin to give you more. And you know, as you can handle those things and just begin to grow. I can remember that one of the things that we're proud of at Silver Creek was our first customers are still our customers today. And we still have.
That's how many years later?
Started with 2008, and we still have those. That same customer today, and
says a lot about both of you.
Yeah, and so, you know, he will laugh, and a lot of times he will call me, or, you know, as we're talking, and he'll try to take success for, you know, he'll try to take credit for all of our success. You know, he'll say it's because of me, you know, but it is true. We have a great partnership together. And then as we've gotten bigger, a lot of the things that one of the core values that Silver Creek has that we want to give back to our community. And so through that, we believe our community is helping to support us. So we're going to give back to our community. So it's like everything we do at Silver Creek is strategically done. We have a reason or a plan or why we're doing what we're doing. And so like many small businesses, someone would come in and say, hey, can you sponsor a ball team? Can you sponsor my kid's soccer team? Can you do something like that? And, man, we were just getting hit up everywhere. And we decided a few years ago that we would partner with, you know, just a few different organizations, and that we would funnel most of our giving through those organizations. And that way that we could, again, build a relationship with them, we could see their organizations grow. They would know that Silver Creek was there behind them, and we would create almost a partnership even with our giving in the community. And so one of the things that we did, we looked, well, who needs transportation help in a nonprofit type setting? And one of the things that we looked at was our local marching band. They needed someone to move their equipment on Saturdays. So we're like, wow, we have trucks and trailers on Saturdays that are sitting in the lot we can use to help our local band. And so now we pull probably five or six local bands all fall to their different competitions using our trucks and trailers. And the only thing that we tell them, the only thing we want in return is, hey, if you've got a parent that runs a company, has anything to do with logistics, give us a call and see if we can help. And, you know, we've made some relationships and built some customer bases out of those type things. So, you know, I'm a firm believer that we all have talents. We all have some kind of passion inside of us that drives what we do. And when we can connect that with the need, man, it just works for everybody. You know, if I've got a truck sitting on a Saturday, we have a band that needs a truck, it's a win-win for everybody. We get to help the kids. You know, they in turn, their parents don't have to pay as much for them to do what they're trying to do, and it just works. Those are the opportunities that we're looking for.
Wow, what a
good
great
stuff.
Let me ask you, Jason, and this is something I've noticed in our company, with our turnover, we've got about 10%, and it's always the same people. Are you noticing that as well?
Yes. Yes. And I'm an optimist. I try to always look at the bright side of everything. But, you know, it seems to be exactly as you say it is. You know, I don't understand that. I mean, I think.
Well, because those are the things, people, you know what? I'm a firm believer that 10 or 20% of turnover, the reason they're turnover is because they don't stay anywhere. Because the grass is always greener somewhere else.
True.
It's just
true.
Those are the sort of people. And we get them because the grass looked greener at our place, and as I'm sure it did at your place. And you're probably, just like us, during the vetting process, you probably tell them exactly what you do and what the job entails. And then 5 weeks after being there, they go, how come I've never been to Texas for this company? And you go, well, we don't go there. Well, I thought we went to Texas. As a matter of fact, I told you we don't go to Texas. But they don't
That's
hear
right.
That.
Sounds like
listen.
You've done this before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is. And that is frustrating. And, you know, in the climate that we're in these days where you need to fill seats, and, you know, you wish that you could just turn down, you know, think there might be things you'd say, oh, my gosh, you know, if we had 100 applicants, would we consider what would be that criteria? And, you know, we had a local driving school that called us a few years ago, and they're like, we want you to come down, and we want you to go through the interview process with people and how trucking companies interview drivers and, you know, things that when they go to apply for a job, you know, how to go through this job interview. And it just hit me that so many of our companies, I told them, I said, they don't do this interview process like this. You know, do you have a CDL? Do you have a driving record? Can you, you know, are you willing to go get in the truck and get gone? You know, and that's,
and you have a heart
so far from
you got that
what
way.
We need. You know, do you have a CDL? Is it clean? You know, can I call your last guy? Did everything go good? You know, can you be in California tomorrow? You know, that's
exactly.
That's exactly our hiring model in our industry so much. And, you know, we have to fight, but we realize so many times in our own company that we have to fight that because we would rather, you know, we would rather do all that we can to see that they fit in our company culture before we hire them, even though we need them. You know, we've realized that we still have to stick to the plan. And
100%,
and that's worked out for us.
It is. Well, you know what? One bad one bad decision can end all your years of work.
Yes.
So,
yes,
you know, the pressure that we're under to put people behind the wheel, and I understand that there's people listening to this show that are under great pressure. They've bought trucks. The trucks are expensive. They can't find drivers. They've had to lower their standards in order to fill those empty seats. But the risk of lowering your standards is far greater than the reward of putting a person behind the wheel that doesn't know what he or she is doing.
That's true. And one of the systems that we've put into place is I talk to all the prospective folks that come to our company personally. I want them to see me first. We don't, if someone calls our company and the first word is, what do you guys pay? We realize that's probably not going to be the guys for us.
Totally
even though
agree.
Yep. So I will either try to reroute them to a different conversation. And if it's just, okay, what do you pay? Then we just probably end the conversation there. So I bring everybody in. I want them to see our operation. I want them to see what we're doing. And then we turn from that stage goes through into our safety department. And, you know, there's times that I really, really like somebody and she'll come back and say, hey, you know, they've just got too many CSA. It's going to be too much on us. I'm not comfortable with it. And that's where we have to go, okay, we're going to stick with the plan, you know. And,
yeah, 100%.
You know, and there's different, you know, things that were all different places. But that has worked pretty well for us. You know, like I say, every time we just say, like you say, we lower our standards just to get somebody in the seat, it typically doesn't work out well for us. And so once you learn that in time, what's the definition of insanity to keep doing it over and expecting something different to happen? And we realize that when we do spend time with somebody, you know, if I have a driver, they'll come in, spend the afternoon with us and look at what we're doing, look at the equipment, and we can talk about our philosophy. And, you know, I think at times that it overwhelms some because they're so used to just, you know, hey, we're going to pay, you know, so many cents per mile and you pass your drug test and we'll start tomorrow. You know, we want them to know that we're trying to do things different. And
that's why you only have, you know what, that says it all. That's why you've got 20% turnover, not 120 or 200% like some of our competitors.
Yeah. Well, you know, a small trucking company with 100% turnover would just be, it would be tough. It would be tough in this market because, you know, anybody who has a truck needs a driver. And so when you're in this market, 100% turnover would be a killer, I think. I don't know how you.
But there are people out there that have that because they're hiring incorrectly.
Right, yeah. And that's, you know, and that's been the success with our, even in our maintenance department and our back office, you know, the folks that we have really careful, like I told you at the very beginning, I tried to find people that were smarter than what I think I am at their job. And, you know, how do we train them? And we, you know, we send them to the conferences and try to do things that, you know, and listen to them, try to always, we have regular staff meetings each week. When we started our growth plan, we went to a board system for our organizational growth. And I brought a couple guys in from the community to retired trucking professional, retired money man, you know, and then with our inner team, and I created a board system, and we had a board meeting every month. So every month, everybody was accountable to what our company was doing. So I know once a month I've got to report, you know, inside of our company, this is what we're doing and this is how we're going. And then they can look at me and say, Jason, you know, we see a blind spot here, or you're not thinking about this, or what about this picture, or, you know, those day-to-day things. And so I started talking around to different people, small businesses in our area and, you know, other trucking companies are like, you guys do anything like that? And I was really shocked that nobody's doing things like that. And that is one of the key success. That is the key to our success, hands down, is that board system. I know once a month that I have to have reports ready. They know that they have to have things ready for me. Safety has to have things ready for me. Logistics has to have things ready. You know, the folks that we brought in from the community, a couple of retired guys that, you know, we trust. They have things ready, and, you know, they get to share in our successes, and it keeps everybody on track because, you know, it doesn't take long. We could drift off course, you know.
Wow. So, you know what? You've got a wonderful organization there, and I think you guys are – you're on the right path. You're telling me – stuff. It's you know, you've been in business for 13 years, and I've been in business for 42 years with Trafix. And a lot of what you're doing and you did, it took me a long time to learn. So
yeah,
kudos to
me
you and your organization.
And I would love, you know, we talk about, I would love to tell you that everything flows perfect, and you know, and I know it doesn't. And, you know, we have our issues. We do have our miscommunications. We have things, oh, man, I wish that we could have handled that better or different or something. But, you know, we have our challenges every day. We have, you know, everything that happens in the normal running a business today, no matter whether you're, you know, if we're picking apples or whatever it is, if you're doing it in a business, it's a tough climate. And we have those challenges. And, you know, I'd love to be able to say we all just always agree and work on things, and we don't. We do have. But what we do have, I think, is a mutual respect for everybody that, you know, we're all going the same way. And I see that as my job in the company is to, you know, keep setting that vision for our team. This is the way we're going. This is how it's going to happen. And then be able to communicate that, you know, to our drivers. And it makes all the difference in the world, you know, and it makes it fun. It makes it fun to go to work. I don't want to go to work in chaos every day.
Well, yeah. You know, if you had a huge turnover with drivers, imagine every morning starting out with 13 of the 26 guys brand new. That's what turnover looks like.
Yeah, it would be.
That's what
it would be very
frustrating. So, so you're not really by hiring incorrectly, you're not really saving any money. You're not doing anything but bringing a whole bunch of chaos to your organization.
Yeah. Well, you know, if trucking operations run on pretty thin margins, and so. One of the things that we do with our drivers is that I show them if you guys bend a bumper, this is what it really costs. You may say, well, that was just, you know, a $500 bumper or whatever. We break it down in the safety meeting and say, this is what, you know, this is how much business it takes to recover tearing a door off a trailer. This is how much business it takes to recover if, you know, we have an accident. And, you know, because most of the time, you know, they may not even be aware of some of the things that are taking place, you know. And,
oh, no.
You know, if you say to them, hey, you know, just exactly what you said, if our CSA scores go to the top and our insurance company tax a surcharge of 10% on us, you know, then
a lot of money.
That's this much money that could be going to you guys for bonuses.
Yeah.
Could be,
exactly.
You know, coming back into the company so we can buy better equipment so that we can, you know, do the things that we want to do because, you know, we pride ourselves in keeping new equipment and those kind of things, and they have to help us take care of it, you know.
Man, I tell you
what you're doing,
I'm listening,
right.
And I just got the notification that hour just blew by. So, Jason, we probably try to stay in contact. We probably want to bring you back so we can finish getting some of the meat off the bone. We hardly ever got to do it.
I'll hang out with you guys anytime. Just give me a call.
Well, we look forward to it.
So, Jason, before we get out of here, though, I want you to be able to tell people and let people know how they can get in contact with you and your company. If you got something that you can offer, if you would like to leave that information with us while we're recording, I'd definitely give the floor is yours to do so.
That'd be great. Well, we have a website, silvercreektrans.com. You can reach me by email anytime at jason@silvercreektrans.com. And I look forward with sharing ideas with anybody, you know, anybody that wants to talk about trucks or trucking. And I'm still a sucker for the old trucks. We restore and rework a lot of the old trucks, and I still have a lot of that in my blood, too. So anybody that wants to talk about trucking in any shape or form or moving logistics, that's right up my alley. Give me a call.
Well, thank you for joining us.
All right.
All right.
Appreciate it again.
Thank you, guys.
Taking time out of your schedule.
Thank you.
All right. Y'all have a good week.
God bless.
Thank you.
And if anybody wants to get hold of me, extension 203 at 1-800-388-4352. Again, that's extension 203, or send me an email, chuck@traffix.com. And if you need to get set up as a carrier, give me a call. I'll walk you through and I'll introduce you to the right people for what you're doing. And with that, Rico, I'm going to let you back in the hole.
Absolutely, Chuck. I appreciate it. We want to take time out to thank Jason again for coming on, allowing us to pick his brain and to kind of get all up in his business a little bit and share some information with us. We are so grateful that he did so. And I'll tell you, it's excellent, but that's an inspiration for all of us out there that are looking, that have aspirations to grow, that don't think that it can be done anymore, whatever. Well, this guy's a living proof to show that it can be done. It just takes a little hard work and determination. And he was gracious enough to kind of share a couple of his secret, some of his secret weapons with us. And so just stay the course. Stay the course. Be determined on what it is that you want to do and what you want to accomplish, and you can do so. I don't want to get into a whole segment of me preaching or nothing like that, because that kind of gets me fired up a little bit. But thanks again, Jason, for taking some time out for coming out and hanging out with us.
Hey, man, a guy told me one time, the world belongs to the person that shows up every day. So
you got it. Very wise man.
There it is. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you guys, the most important part of the show, the listeners, for taking time out to listen, whether you listen to us live or whether you listen to us later on a download and a recording. We definitely appreciate it. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you took a little time to hang out with us, and we're eternally grateful for you doing so. And with that being said, I want to thank you guys. We'll talk to you same time, same place, God willing, next week. Be safe out there, everybody. Stay healthy. Keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, and we'll talk at you next time, next week. God bless you and good night.
Catch you on the flip-flop.